I never met my grandfather, my dad's dad. I heard about him. I knew from a young age that he drank and smoked himself to death before I was born. And I learned at some point that he wasn't very nice to my grandmother a lot of the time. I also knew he was a World War II veteran. My dad showed me a box one day that my grandfather had brought home from the war full of authentic Japanese cultural objects. Items that my grandfather had taken from the bodies of dead Japanese soldiers. Kind of a morbid thing to keep around now that I think about it. I'll have to ask my dad if he still has it, and if so, why? Anyway, at some point when I was a teenager, my dad shared with me a book he was reading titled Adult Children of Alcoholics, noting that it was really helpful for him in understanding his own journey. It wasn't until I was an adult, though, that I began to understand the full implications and repercussions in my own life of my grandfather I never met's alcoholism. Because one of the things that happens for people living with addicts is that they often develop what's called codependency, or the habit, really a way of life, of looking after the needs of others, usually the alcoholic originally, and ignoring your own. And as so often happens in families, emotional habits and patterns of behavior get passed down from parent to child, and so I soaked up my dad's codependency hook, line, and sinker. I learned to ignore my own needs so that I could look after the needs of others, the textbook definition of codependent. I can't say I didn't develop any sense of self, but my awareness of my own needs was sorely lacking. I was so disconnected from my own wants and needs that as a young adult, my therapist gave me the task at one point of making a list of everything that I actually liked. Because I sat in a therapy session with her and told her I was so used to focusing on everyone else that I hardly knew what it was that I liked myself. And so I identify with our reading this morning. I identify with Victoria Safford when she says, "Here is where I found my voice and chose to be brave. Here's a place, a murky puddle, where I have fallen and stumbled more than once. Here is where I began to look with my own eyes and listen with my ears and sing my own song, shaky as it is." My whole adult life, in some ways, has been a continued journey of finding my own voice, stumbling through the darkness, beginning to look with my own eyes, beginning to sing my own song, shaky as it sometimes is. And my experience as a minister leads me to believe that this is a journey that most of us are on, all in different shapes and forms, with different reasons and manifestations. Perhaps some of our elders here this morning feel like they've got it all figured out, and if so, I tip my hat to you. Having served as a hospital chaplain for a year, though, where my job consisted solely of having pastoral conversations with patients all day long, I've heard many stories from people across all walks of life, all ages, all socioeconomic backgrounds, all genders and races, etc. And what I learned from that and many years of pastoral counseling is that most of us are still in the process of sorting and sifting through our lives, facing the hard feelings and experiences, and doing the work of finding our voice, singing our song, and claiming our authentic selves. Making the choices, doing the work, finding our true inner selves and our strong inner voices, this skill and ability is becoming increasingly important and even essential as we live today in our country under a new president who is implementing new and drastic laws and regulations. It's essential because it is through finding our voice, our true and authentic selves, and living that true self in the world that we can then gather the strength to come together to overcome hate and oppression and violence and help heal the world. Our second reading this morning, the video clip from The Sound of Music of Maria's introduction to the Von Trapp children who arrive on the march via whistle, illustrates this point perfectly. It's actually a wonderful example of someone speaking and acting out of a place of deep connection with one's inner voice and true self in the face of a controlling authority figure. The expectations and social roles in that situation were very clear. Captain Von Trapp was in charge, and as the governess, it should have been Maria's role to follow his directions and requests without question, including using a whistle to call the children. Clearly, all the many previous governesses had accepted their role and followed his wishes because he was still doing it. And so Captain Von Trapp exerted his authority and blew right past Maria's initial protest that she could just call the children by their names. It was just too much, though, when he informs her that he'll call her by a whistle signal himself. Oh, no, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I could never answer to a whistle. Whistles are for dogs and cats and other animals, but not for children, and definitely not for me. It would be too humiliating. Captain Von Trapp's response to Maria is illuminating. He says, Fräulein, were you this much trouble at the Abbey? Her response, of course, is, oh, much more so, sir. Which is funny, and he nods and moves on. But the battle was won. Maria does not use the whistle, despite the clear societal norms and expectations that she follow orders. Instead, her true self, her authentic voice, spoke up, and she transformed the situation. Despite being in a lesser position of power, despite having little to no authority in her social role as governess, given her inexperience and lack of training, no, Maria reached for authority that came simply from her true self, her true voice, and she spoke up for herself and for the children. One could argue, as I'm about to, that it's not just in standing up to the Nazi regime where the sound of music offers lessons in fighting injustice. In fact, much of the first act of the Sound of Music is a study in overcoming systems of oppression through standing up as your authentic self. Maria had no training as a governess, and she entered a system with an authoritarian figure at its head, a figure whose followers, the children, did not welcome her and actively tried to sabotage her, right? There was a frog in the pocket at one point. And she stood firmly in who she was, said no to that which she could not abide, and responded to negativity from the children with love. And not just in that one scene. The children, used to baiting and harassing their governesses, try to do the same with Maria, and she responds with love, even if the sobbing at the dinner table with the captain is a little bit over the top. Later in the film, Maria stands up to the captain again. She's trying to talk to him about the children, pushing him to be more present to them, and he tells her, I don't wish you to discuss my children in this manner. Maria responds, well, you've got to hear it from someone. You're never home long enough to notice. He continues, I said I don't want to hear any more from you about my children. I know you don't, she says, but you've got to. And he listens. I could go on, but I think my point is clear. Maria does not let roles and lines of authority stand in the way of what she thinks is right, even if it means being sent back to the Abbey. Now, I do understand, of course, that in a system that size, a rather small one, that it's, of course, possible for just one voice to make a difference. In systems of control, authority, and oppression that are much larger, one voice alone isn't going to cut it. We need to have many strong and authentic voices come together to overcome larger systems of injustice and oppression, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, let's be clear. Maria, through her nature, perhaps as the film suggests, or maybe in part through the modeling she received from her family, Maria had found her voice in some measure already. She knew her authentic self, she knew who she was at her core, and she knew already what she would and wouldn't stand for. My 18-year-old self, my meeting the needs of others self, wouldn't have been able to do that. And even for those of us who aren't codependent, it takes a strong, strong grounding in self to stand up against authority and share what you believe to be right. Especially when the stakes are high, especially when your job or your physical safety perhaps even might be compromised, or maybe the physical safety of your family even. It takes courage, and it takes a strong grounding in yourself and your beliefs to stand up for what is right. Let's also be clear that standing in your authentic self and finding and claiming your voice doesn't mean that you never have doubts, fears, or insecurities. As we heard in Margaret's beautiful singing of I Have Confidence in Me this morning, Maria, on her way to the Von Trapp home, has lots of doubts and fears and anxieties. She doesn't get stuck in those feelings, though. She has them, she names them, she experiences them, and then she moves on and through them. She finds confidence in the song, she finds confidence within herself. She stays true to her authentic self, and she uses that confidence, that courage, that authentic grounding to transform the family system of the Von Trapp household, despite lacking any credentials as governess. She used her personal power, not role power, but the power of her own truth and her own voice to create change based on her values and beliefs. Because there's power in finding our own voices and singing our own song, and it isn't just something made up for a musical or a movie. We've all heard speakers, or heard songs sung by their composers, or had conversations where we've experienced the power of someone speaking out of their own inner, deep truth. Everyone has this power. And some of those who are most skilled at speaking with a strong voice of their inner truth, we recognize as leaders of humanitarian or civil rights movements. Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, Malala, Martin Luther King Jr. We could make a long list, right? There is no denying the power as we head into Black History Month in February. There is no denying the power of I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That is but one of many examples of inner truth being spoken forth and transforming the world. And so we come back to one voice, many voices. Because even the wisest sages such as Mandela, Gandhi, Malala, and Martin Luther King, even those with the most skilled, powerful voices speaking inner truths, none of them brought change alone. They went on their journeys, some of them publicly. They all had to deal with their own fears, doubts, and anxieties. They weren't born knowing these inner truths and speaking them as powerfully as they did as adults. They had to search and wrestle and find that inner voice. They had to learn to sing their own song, voices and songs that have inspired so many. And then they joined their voices and their songs together with others to create change. And so too do we, as we find and begin to own the sound of our own voice as individuals, so too do we have to work together with others to create the sound of our voice, our collective voice, so that as one we can speak out in ways that demand, no, require that we are listened to. And that voice, our voice, it's not monotone, right? It's not one note, one same note that we're all singing together. It's many notes, many individual truths, many unique songs that have been found, no matter how shaky, that come together to create one song, one shared voice, singing in harmony. Friends, this is shaping up to be a rough time in our country, if not in the life of the world. President Trump's executive order on immigration this past Friday is still reverberating across the country and the world, affecting the lives, the dreams, and the families of so many. It may be that this is the worst of it, and if so, I will be grateful. We've already seen some successful pushback in the form of protests yesterday and the lawsuit filed by the ACLU, which resulted in a federal judge barring the deportation of immigrants who had already arrived on U.S. soil. That's great. I fear, though, and I sure hope that I'm proven wrong, but I fear that this is just the beginning, and that we are going to be called to lift up our voices in protest and calls for justice over and over and over in the days, months, and years to come. And the more we can find our own truths, our own voices, our own songs, the more effective our collective response will be. As parenting writer L.R. Nost notes, when the world tells you to lower your head and submit in silence to how things are and always will be, lift your voice instead and sing bravely of how things can and should and will be, because that song is why you are here. If we can do this, if we can lift our voices and sing our song from the places of truth deep within, with the addition of a large dose of hard work and organizing, our voices will emerge in harmony as our voice, lifting itself up and requiring that we be heard. Just like Maria's voice was able to transform a much smaller authoritarian system, so too can our voice of harmony, our voice naming the injustices we see, our voice responding to hate, anger, and violence with love, so too can our voice transform the systems of injustice and oppression in our country and bring healing to our hurting world. Claiming your voice is claiming your power. Claiming our voice is claiming our power. We can do this. We can absolutely, totally, 100% do this. Let me close by sharing with you a poem titled Telling by Laura Hershey. She writes, "What you risk telling your story, you will bore them. Your voice will break, your ink spill and stain your coat. No one will understand, their eyes become fences. You will park yourself forever on the outside, your differentness once and for all revealed, dangerous. The names you give to yourself will become epithets. Your happiness will be called bravery, denial. Your sadness will justify their pity, your fear will magnify their fears. Everything you say will prove something about their God or their economic system. Your feelings, that change day to day, kaleidoscopic, will freeze in place, brand you forever, justify anything they decide to do with you. Those with power can afford to tell their story or not. Those without power risk everything to tell their story and must. Someone somewhere will hear your story and decide to fight, to live and refuse compromise. Someone else will tell her own story, risking everything." I look forward to hearing your voice. I look forward to hearing your song. I look forward to hearing your story. And I look forward to hearing our voice emerge, to hear our song be sung, to hear our stories told over and over until they lift up and overwhelm the hate and discrimination and injustice that is rearing its ugly head and transform it and our country into a better place. If we claim it, we have the power to affect change. And I know we already have the courage. We have the courage, we have the love, and we have each other. Let's do it. Amen.